We live in this Google culture where you can get an instant answer for pretty much anything. We reach for Google or ChatGPT before we try to answer a problem, before we even try to wrestle with that problem. And that's actually causing problems. Today we're going to talk about the role of struggle in learning, and you might think, oh, do we have to try to make it harder than it already is? But here's the thing, a little bit of struggle is actually good for you, and it's good for your kid. It's going to help build resilience. So really, when we're talking about struggle in learning, we're talking about building resilience. If we haven't met yet, I'm Marina Joy, and this is Tween Talk, where we talk about issues that tweens have. Lots of times it is about education, homeschooling, getting into communication, organization, critical thinking skills, all of those things. So if you're a parent of tweens, you're in the right spot. Thank you for joining me. Let's get into it today. So the first thing we want to talk about is how actually struggling when you're learning, and I don't mean struggling to the point of extreme frustration and wanting to give up. I mean just that little bit of difficulty that makes it not just an easy answer. What that does is it creates deeper learning. When you have to grapple with tasks or grapple with ideas, you actually internalize them in a way that you don't if you just type Google, help me answer this question. I know recently, I've been trying to learn jazz for about a year, and let me tell you, it has been about grappling with ideas. I thought I was getting into, hey, I'll learn a few jazzy things and I'll be able to play Autumn Leaves with some jazzy vibes to it, and I'll be playing jazz. Well, turns out that's not actually the case. And our kids too. Sometimes what happens is they think, oh, I'm just going to do, sure, I can write this paragraph, no problem. And then they get into it and they realize, oh, topic sentence. How do I get a topic sentence? How do I come up with reasons for my idea? I don't know, because it is the reason. That's why. And then you ask them to dig deeper, and then there's this little bit of struggle. If we let them give up right away for things that they are capable of doing, we rob them of the opportunity to internalize that in a deeper way, and that's really sad. We want them to internalize the things so they can then go and do another task. Like Andrew Pudua says, it's always easy plus one, that stretching, that wrestling with some of the learning so that they internalize it, it goes deeper, and they will be just better for it, better able to handle other challenges coming their way. This is the same thing that happens with grammar. Now, years ago, I wrote a writing program. We had some students go through the writing program. And one of the things was grammar in context. Grammar in context. There are so many grammar books out there. It's like learn what nouns are, what verbs are, what adjectives, all of these things. And you can test students on it. They know what they are. They can do it on the sentence in the book. But you ask them to do that, to transfer that same knowledge into the paragraph that they're writing in their essay, and they cannot do it because they haven't internalized it. They haven't struggled with, how do I take this? Okay, so I have a compound sentence. Now, how do I make a compound sentence in this paragraph that works with the flow of this paragraph to make it interesting, to flow smoothly, to like all of the things, add sentence variety, whatever the case. They can't do it because they've done it out of context. So we want this productive struggle that leads to deeper learning. Here's another way we can help our kids become more resilient by giving them something to struggle with just a little bit. They'll internalize it, they'll start to own it, and we'll see that they are more resilient. One of the things is with their schedule. So we want our kids to be more independent as they are going through these middle school years. But the problem is, when parents, maybe not you, maybe you've seen this done, parents, they make a schedule for their kid, great, but then every single day they hand their kid the thing, the paper that says, hey, here's what you need to do today. Here's what you need to do today. And the child never learns how to create their schedule for the day. And you wonder why they can't be or they aren't independent. Well, they haven't had to grapple with that. So instead, if you say, hey, we need to get this stuff done this week, what do you think your days could look like so that you could get that done? And don't throw the whole thing at them at once. Maybe say, hey, can you schedule in math for yourself this week so you get this done? And they think, oh, yeah, sure, that's great. I can have Mondays off. Okay. So they schedule it in, Mondays off, Friday comes along, they're not done, they end up working on Saturday. Guess what? They've learned. They're going to internalize that. Next week, you say, hey, can you plan your math? You bet your bottom dollar they're going to be scheduling math on Monday because they don't want to have to do it on the weekend. They have learned, they have internalized, they have taken that, they have owned that schedule rather than you handing it to them every week and saying, hey, here's exactly what you need to do and spoon feeding it to them. We want to make them, help them become resilient so that, okay, you know, they've scheduled math in, fabulous, they know what they need to get done. Now Thursday night comes along and they're like, oh, I really want to watch this show with my friends. My math's not done. Last time I didn't get my stuff done, I had to work on Saturday. So now they have a decision to make. Now they have to think it through. They have to go, huh, okay, weigh the options and then decide and move forward and deal with whatever consequences, good or bad, that come from that decision. The third thing when we are thinking about helping our kids build resilience and the struggle of learning, letting them struggle a bit, is we need to manage the amount of struggle. So life is hard, 100%. Let's not fool ourselves. Let's not fool our kids into thinking that life is easy. There are hard things, and we need to give our kids opportunities to have struggles that are within their capacity, maybe slightly stretching that capacity. That's where they're gonna build resilience. They're gonna go, oh, okay, that was tough, but I did it. And the next time there's something a little bit difficult, they're gonna go, hey, remember last time I did it? I bet you I could do it this time too. So it's always that little bit outside of the comfort zone. Stretching, they're struggling with the learning, but they can get it. We want them to succeed, but we want a little bit of struggle. That's what builds that resilience muscle. Now, these are all things that I built into the three-season homeschool method. This is the method that over the years, through trial and error, I landed on for my daughters. We tried it multiple years. We're like, wow, this really works. Why didn't we think of this sooner? My daughter was like, Mom, I wish we could have done this sooner. And I thought, well, it took all this trial and error to get here. So here we are. And part of that is this idea of achievable tasks, but a little bit of struggle. So we're not doing everything difficult. We have some things that come easier, some things that are moderate, maybe slightly struggling with to grapple with the learning concepts there, and only one difficult subject per season to actually give you the time that you need to go deep into that subject, to grapple with it, to learn it to the best of your ability, Whereas if everything is difficult, then there's this feeling of hopelessness. So we always want something that they can succeed at right away, something that's a little bit challenging, and something that they really need to grapple with in order to get. And that combination, I found, really helps them step up and lean into the learning and become more resilient. They're more likely to try difficult things because they've succeeded at them, and that builds competence. You know, they can actually do the thing, and confidence because they have done the thing. Now, all of this sounds great. Okay, so my kid needs to struggle a bit when they're learning. Okay, fine. It builds resilience. That's great. But how do we do that? And that's where deliberate practice comes in. It is not just learning by osmosis. You know, maybe if I listen to it, the knowledge will just seep into their brain. You know, they just listen to it, it seeps into their brain, and then they're magically able to do the work. It doesn't happen that way. You've probably noticed that in with your child as well. There has to be some deliberate practice, which is why we need to schedule time to do the work. We need to practice doing the work correctly. We need to like look at that answer key, work the question backwards, see where they went wrong, try again, look at the answer key, see where they went wrong, try again. Deliberately practicing and then taking what they learned, applying it. Not just merely being exposed to things. Then here's what we can do. Here's a couple of practical things. So number one, pause before helping. It is super easy for kids just to say, I can't do this. Mom, can you help me? And it's easy for us to just go and help them. But we want to let them struggle for a little while, not maliciously let them struggle and say, ha ha, you're having a bad time with this. No. Instead, we would say, okay, tell me what you tried. And when you tried that, what happened? And what do you think you should try next? What could we try next? How could I help you? Make them articulate these things, even if it is not clearly articulated, they're not sure of the right words. They need to make an effort before they get help. We also want to create manageable challenges, things that are just a little beyond their comfort zone that they can do. They have proven skills that you know they can do, you know, like 80% of it, and then that last 20% is going to be a little bit of a challenge. They might struggle with it. It's not going to be perfect, but that is okay. We also want to focus on the process initially. So here's a big thing. Outcome does matter. In the real world, outcome matters. When you're at a job and you've been asked to complete a task, the boss expects you to have that task done to the standard that they have set. So outcome does matter. But when you're first learning this and you're struggling with the learning and you're trying to figure it out, we need to manage what outcome is expected. So we do want an outcome, but the outcome will not be perfection. The outcome will be like, okay, we tried these things and we want to end up with some sort of result over here that is an indication of the process that you went through to accomplish the task. We also want to show our kids what this looks like. And this is the bit that is difficult, because it means as parents, we need to humble ourselves, go back into something that is difficult so that we can model this productive struggle. I know over the years I've taken on different challenges, and I've always said to my kids, I'm like, we do hard things. But it's not just me saying, you need to do a hard thing. It's like, I'm trying this hard thing because it's important to do hard things. So as a mom, what is something that is a hard thing that you can model doing for your kid? It'll also make you extremely empathetic, because when you're doing the hard thing, it's not going to go right all the time. You're going to be in learning mode, and you are going to feel those same things like, I don't know how I can do this. I don't feel like I'm good enough. Just like all of those things that your child is feeling. So you will be empathetic when they're like, Mom, I just can't do it. And it'll give it more weight when you say, you know what? We do hard things. What is the very next thing that you can do to move forward? It'll give it way more weight if you are doing a hard thing. And you can relate and say, you know what? I'm learning this song on the piano, and the very next hard thing I need to do is learn this. There's this difficult passage, and I've worked on it for a week, and I just can't get it yet. But I know I will. I can do hard things. I just need to break it down. And so the same thing is for you. And you can go on to relate it to your kid, whatever the hard thing is that you're doing, and relate it so that they see, like, you understand. You actually understand. And that has a lot of value. So building resilience is critical. There's so much going on in the world, like the awful stuff that kids are exposed to every single day. If they're on social media, they're hearing all the stuff. There's like traumatic things, unsettling events, and they need to continue to get back up every day, try again, and be resilient. And if we can teach them how to do this in the learning environment, we can transfer some of those resilience skills, if you will, to the rest of life. Like, how do you pick yourself back up again when you've been knocked down? Like, how do you keep getting back up? There's a lot of instant gratification. And so learning how to deal with the struggle of learning, it immediately promotes delayed gratification. Because instead of an instant, hey, Google, tell me this answer, boom, you have the answer. They're dealing with what Nick Peterson calls like this open loop. So you don't have the answer yet, and you're sitting with it. So there's this delayed gratification of finding the answer and struggling through to get it, and that builds resilience. They'll be able to persist through challenges. Like, this is a life skill. Like I said, life is difficult. It's no surprise to you or me. But to your kids, it might be a surprise. They expect life to be easy. If it's all like it is on Pinterest or TikTok or wherever they are on social media, everything looks picture perfect. And even the things that don't look picture perfect, they are glamorized. And so when things get difficult, we teach them how to persist through those challenges, no matter what. That builds resilience every time they persist through a challenge, even if it's a small challenge. Mental health is a big struggle, and this plays in big time with resilience. So if we can build up this growth mindset and this idea that, hey, we have to struggle, we just don't know this yet. That idea that it's possible to learn it, we just haven't sorted it out yet. That will help reframe some of the times when they're feeling like a failure, because they just don't have it yet. But they will, or they can, if they persist and they just need to do the very next thing. And independence. If you are looking to develop an independent learner, which you're here, so I'm assuming you are, learning how to struggle through and push through is what is going to build those independent learning skills. So then they can take that textbook that's written to them as the student, and they can read it. They can go, huh, I don't understand this yet. Let me read it again. They're going to persist. They're going to keep on working through it until they get it, because they understand that struggling through is normal. They have a growth mindset. They think, I just don't understand this yet. What is one thing I need to do to understand the next bit? They're okay with that open loop because they know that if they persist, they're going to find the answer. So as we wrap up for today, there's a couple of key takeaways that I hope will be helpful. Number one, struggle is not the enemy. Struggle is not the enemy. Number two, balance is crucial. So we have to balance this, you know, overwhelming tasks with easy tasks. If life is overwhelming in all domains, then how can we scale back some things that are overwhelming? How can we as the parent take over some of those overwhelming tasks so that your kid can do the thing, like one overwhelming task is manageable. Five overwhelming tasks is not. So as a parent, we can sort of shoulder some of that and then slowly kind of give back some of those things as this thing that was overwhelming gets dealt with. Then we can help them cope with some of these other things to build resilience. Number three, we want to focus on the end result, but we want to manage what that expected end result is. So the process does matter, but also in this middle school time, we do want to start saying that the outcome matters as well. The good news is resilience is teachable. With intentional practice of this productive struggle, you can help your tween build their resilience. And as they do, they're going to become way more confident, they're going to become more competent, and they will become more independent in their learning, which is what you wanted. So I invite you this week to think about just one area where you could step back a wee bit and let your child actually take the lead, struggle productively. When they come and ask you a question, put it back on them. What have you done so far? Show me what you've done so far. Try again, try three things, and so on. So give it back to them. Look for opportunities to deliberately practice learning, like deliberate learning, versus just thinking, oh, well, if we watch a history movie, they're going to automatically absorb it. Well, no. But if you study a time period in history and deliberately struggle through learning that, they will internalize that. And that's what we want. So I'll leave you with this. Building resilience now in these middle school years will prepare your tween for life's bigger challenges. So while it seems like a lot of effort on your part, because you're going to have to bite your tongue and not give answers and push them beyond their comfort zone, and they're going to push back, and you think, is it worth it? It is 100% worth it, because you are helping your child become a more resilient individual. And that is what's going to carry them through so they can do the difficult things in high school and beyond. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Tween Talk. And I would love to send you my newsletter, weekly email tips and tricks and advice and resources so that you can focus on parenting your tween and speak into their life truth, get encouraged, get ideas about how to interact and help your tween become a better learner so that they can prepare for whatever life has for them. Until next time.